Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Dick. This is the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation out of South of 12th Hour. And at Liberty Hill, Texas, today is July 12, 2014. Right, it is the 16th day of the 4th lunar month, 2018. We will start our first service on the Sabbath day with a song entitled, When We All Get to Heaven. Sing of what Joshua, of Joshua, say his mercy and his grace. In the mansion bright and blessed, he'll prepare to us the place when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. And when we all say Joshua, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing there will be. When we all see Yahshua, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the tolls of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Yahshua, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall walk the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all say Yahshua, we'll sing and shout the victory. A Scepter of Righteousness. That's the name of our sermon today. We're going to start with the scripture here in Hebrews 1:8. But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O Yahweh, O Yahshua, He's talking about the Son, is forever and ever. A scepter of the righteousness is with the scepter of thy kingdom. Okay, we read that again. But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O Yahshua, is forever and ever. For a scepter of righteousness is of the scepter of thy kingdom. Okay, now, a scepter is mentioned in the scriptures. I believe it's mentioned about, let's see, it's mentioned 15 times, and we're going to read those 15 scriptures. I've already read you one. We're going to read you the other 14. It says in Genesis 49:10, For the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until a shadow come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Now, the more referencing the meaning of scepter, we can turn and use the KJV, use the Strong Concordance. And it says, it's used for beating or striking. Okay, so that's one. Then it says that it's used for chastening. In Proverbs 10:13 and 13:24 and 22:8, hence the rod with which Yahweh corrects, used of calamities, sent by Elohim. Okay, and Job 9:34 and Job 1:21-9 and Job 37:13 and Isaiah 10:5 and Isaiah 11:4 said the rod of his mouth. In other words, severe sentences. But see 2 Thessalonians 2:8. A shepherd rod is a crook. Psalms 23:4. Number three, the scepter of a king, Genesis 49:10. This belongs to number four, Numbers 24:17 and Psalms 45:7, Isaiah 14:5, and Amos 1:5-8, and of a leader, Judges 5:14. Whence a tribe of the Israelites, number four, so called from the scepter of the leader or prince of the tribe. See. Number three, Exodus 28:21. Okay. Sometimes also, it says a family. It's got Jewish writing here. Numbers 4:18 and Judges 20:12 and 1 Samuel 9:21. And number five is a measuring rod. And meton, a portion measured off, Psalm 74:2, Jeremiah 10:16. All right. A spear, it's a spear which consists of a staff or a rod. All right. Now, remember when David went to meet with Goliath? He said he had a staff. He said he took his staff with him. Well, we thought that was a the shepherd's rod, but it wasn't. It was a spear. He took a slingshot and a spear. But see, he didn't use a spear. He used a slingshot and Goliath a sword. Okay, so now, with a spearhead put on at the top. 2 Samuel 18:14. So David was somewhat armed when he went out to meet. Okay. So it says in Genesis 49:10, a scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until a shadow come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Okay. So it's okay, let's go on now back to more referencing here. It says in Numbers 24:17, it says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. Okay. Now, if you remember, Balaam was given this prophecy. The prophet that turned against Israel and sold him out for filthy lucre to the king of Moab. Okay, Esther 4:11. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king, into the inner court, who is not call, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such unto whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been told to come in unto the king these 30 days. Esther 5:2. And it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. That's Esther 8:4. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther, so Esther rose and stood before the king. Psalms 45:6. Thy throne, O Elohim, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Isaiah 14:5. The Yahweh has spoken, the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. Ezekiel 19:14. And fire is gone out of a rod of her branches, which hath devoured her fruit, so that she hath no strong rod to be a scepter to rule. This is a lamentation, and shall be for a lamentation. Amos 1:5. I will break also the bar of Damascus, and cut off the inhabitant from the plain of Aven, and him that holds the scepter from the house of Eden. And the people of the Syria shall go into captivity unto Tur, as saith the Yahweh. Amos 1:8. And I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and him that holdeth the scepter from Ascalon, and I will turn mine hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines that shall perish, saith the Yahweh of Elohim. Zechariah 10:11. And he shall pass through the sea with affliction, and shall smite the waves in the sea, and all the deeps of the river shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away. Hebrews 1:8. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O Elohim, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Okay, so that takes us now to, we're going to now turn to a scripture reading taken from Luke 24. It says, Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre. Okay, bringing the spices which they had prepared. Okay. And, certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Yahshua, Messiah. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in the shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces unto the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? Is he not here, but is risen? Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and unto all the rest. For it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed unto them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 3 score furlongs. And they walked together of all these, and they talked together of all these things which had happened, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Yahshua himself drew near and went with them, that their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, how art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Yahshua of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before Elohim and all the people. I notice they said, Yahshua of Nazareth, which was a prophet. Okay. But if he was a prophet then, is he still a prophet after his resurrection? And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. So they trusted that he was the one that was supposed to redeem Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of the angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went unto the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Yahshua to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at the Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, that they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave unto them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scripture? And they rose up the same hour and returned unto Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Yahshua is risen indeed, and hath appeared unto Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. And as they thus spake, Yahshua himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Okay, so now a spirit don't have flesh and bone. But a spirit can appear in a real person. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Yahshua to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, that tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as unto Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into the heaven. And they worshipped him and returned into Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing Elohim. Now, what are we learning? Are we learning about Yahshua and his having the power over death and over the grave and over sin? Having the power to redeem Israel by his blood? And he had that same power today. Why aren't we redeemed today? Well, I guess it's because we were kind of like they were. They were slow of heart to understand and believe. And so Yahshua had to appear among them in different places there, and separately, some of them. And so he's asking them, those two men on the way to Emmaus, he says, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Oh, yeah. So anyway, he said in verse 44 of Luke 24, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. All right, now, let's maybe turn back to Psalms chapter 45, and we might read that chapter. It says, start with verse 1, it says, my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Okay. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, Elohim hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with the glory and thy majesty. Okay, so now what are we learning here? He said, gird thy sword upon thy thigh. Well, when David went to meet Goliath, he had the sword of the Spirit, and he had the slingshot, and he had a staff which had a spear head on the end of it. Well, Goliath also had a big spear, and Goliath, he always meant business. And the people knew it, and so, but David, you never heard of him ever using that staff, yet he said he killed a bear and a lion in one day with his bare hands. I just wonder if somehow he used that staff also, which was a spear, had a spearhead on it. So anyway, it goes on to say in Psalms 45:4, it says, and in Majesty, ride prosperously, because of the truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Okay, so it's... So it says, thy throne, O Yahshua, is forever and ever, as a scepter of thy kingdom, also is with a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness, therefore Elohim thy Elohim hath anointed thee with the oil of the gladness above thy fellows. So we're talking about here, David was anointed above his seven brothers. Okay, and he was anointed above all of those in Israel, including King Saul. Even though King Saul had been anointed to be king before David of Israel, because of his insubordination and disobedience, for all of Yahshua's commandments, he sent Samuel to tell him that that scepter is going to be moved from King Saul, because it is not a scepter of righteousness. And that's why it had to be removed. So it said in Psalms 45:7, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore Elohim, thy Elohim, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Okay, so this prophecy reaches down to antitypical David. Antitypical David has been anointed with thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments, the smell of the myrrh and alloy and cassia, out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. Okay. We have just recently gotten into more of the essential oils which have these. We have the myrrh, and we have the alloys.
Aloes.
And the cassia. I suppose we can get the cassia. I don't know if we have it. King's daughters were among thine honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen of gold and Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy master, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with the gift, even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within, her clothing is of the wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in the raiment of the needlework. For the virgin, as her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With the gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy father shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. So whose name is it that was to be remembered? Okay, in all generations? That's the name of David. Okay. So it's talking about this righteous people, these righteous virgins, 144,000. Well, they remember David. Because David is the one that gets involved here in these last days, bringing forth this everlasting kingdom, starting with the first fruits of the 144,000. And they're kings, priests, and rulers, and they're prophets, priests, and kings. We have just learned that cassia is a cinnamon. Okay. So now we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 1. And we're going to read the whole chapter. It said, Elohim, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So now, when we get a message of timely truth, who's a dictator to it? It's the Son, Yahshua. He's a king sitting upon the throne of David. So he says, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Okay. Now, so, the disciples were right. They perceived that it was Yahshua that was performing all those miracles before he died. That they perceived that he was one to have redeemed Israel. Well, they perceived right. Because it says in Hebrews 1:3, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on the high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be unto him a father, and he shall be unto me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, And let all the angels of the Elohim worship him. And of the angels, he said, Who maketh his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Now, remember Yahshua said to the disciples when he appeared among them in that upper room. He says, a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see me have. So he makes these angels to appear as spirits also. Hebrews 1:8, But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O Yahweh, or O Yahshua, the Son, the King, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is of the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, Elohim, even thy Elohim, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Hebrews 1:10, And thou, Yahweh, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. For they shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But unto which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of the salvation? Alright, now. So it says that the angels, they are, in verse 7 it says, And of the angels he saith, He maketh his angels spirits. Okay? And his ministers a flame of fire. Let us continue now reading Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed unto the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of the reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Yahshua, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? For the Yahweh also bearing them witness, both of the signs and wonders and with the divers manners, or miracles, and gifts of the Yahweh's Spirit, according unto his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put into subjection the world to come whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst sit him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Yahshua, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of the dead, crowned with the glory and honor, that he, by the grace of the Elohim, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in the bringing many sons unto the glory, for the making of the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Okay, so now he's going to declare, he says, thy name unto my brethren. Okay, in the midst of the congregation will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which the Elohim hath given me, for as much then as the children are the partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through the death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject unto bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining unto Elohim, for the making reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Okay. So I said, if you're tempted, then breathe that holy name in prayer. Okay. So we don't have to give in to temptation for yielding to sin. Alright, let us continue on now in Hebrews chapter 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Yahshua Messiah, who was faithful unto him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man is counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. Hebrews 3:4. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is the Yahweh. So that included Yahshua. Yahweh the Father created his son Yahshua. Says so right there in Revelation 3:14. Let's continue on verse 5, Hebrews chapter 3. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Verily Yahshua as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast of the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation and the day of the temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of the unbelief in the departing from the living Yahshua. Okay, we're talking about the Son here. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, that lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sins. For we are made partakers of Yahshua if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said that today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by the Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned? whose carcass fell in the wilderness. Okay. Who was he agreed with for 40 years down at Mount Carmel? Who was he agreed with? He was agreed with those that had sinned. You see? Well, how did they sin? By departing from the living Elohim, from the living Yahshua. How did they depart from him? By neglecting and not believing in the continuation of the truth as unflowing, as flowing like a fountain every day from the prophet's pen. Okay, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? All right, we know that he had a 40-year period. In 1937, Viti Hoff died in 55, leading the rod. But Ben Roden took over, and that's who he was grieved with. He was grieved, in other words, he was grieved with the tares in the church. Because it seemed like when the good are moved out of the way, the tares are always there. They're always there to take the leadership role. Okay? So, and on whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? Okay? But under them that believe not. Okay? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Who is he talking about today? We're talking about here in the Antitype. We're not talking anymore about Antitype in the wilderness. He's asking a question. Whom would he agree with 40 years? Was it not with them that has sinned whose carcass fell in the wilderness? Well, he's talking about the 40 years wilderness journey coming out of Egypt with Moses. Now, that's the time. But who is he agreed with today? Who was the failure to enter in to the everlasting kingdom here in the 12th hour? Those that were in the 11th hour, preceding the 12th. That last generation. Okay? So that's who he's talking about here. He said, who were they agreed with? Okay? And unto whom is for he that they should not enter into his rest. Okay. But unto them that believe not. But what was it that they believed not? They didn't believe in Elijah's message when it came. Yeah, sinner would accept Elijah's message when it came on the scene with Yahshua's chosen messenger. Okay. They didn't believe in it. So we see that they could not enter in because of the unbelief and not accepting of the Elijah's message when it came to them at Gilead Center 2002, starting with the leadership. Okay. And it's Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left to us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So who is this us he's talking about here in chapter 4? Let us therefore fear. Talking about the house of David now, that has taken the leadership, the last group of laborers, the fifth group of laborers found in Matthew 20, verse 6, here in the latter days. That's who we are. It says, let us therefore fear. And what does it mean, fear? What does it mean to fear? But it says in Ecclesiastes, fear Yahweh and keep his commandments, for that's the whole duty of man. So the first thing you do is you learn to fear the Father and keep his commandments. For that's the whole duty of man. Okay, so it says, lest the promise being left to us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Well, what was the gospel preached unto them? The blood of the Yahshua. They were introduced to the blood of the Yahshua with the blood upon the doorpost down in Egypt. When the death angel passed over and slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, clear down to the cattle, everything living, firstborn. So it says, for unto us was the gospel preached. Well, what do you mean, gospel? The good news. What good news? The good news of the salvation through Yeshua. So when did Yeshua make his appearance then in the world? He made his appearance at the rising of the sun. When the sun came upon the scriptures with Moses and the writing of the scriptures, that's when the Son of Righteousness arose with healing in his wings. That's when the sun came up in the first hour. Okay. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with the faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into the rest, as he said, and as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall not enter into my rest. Okay. Although the works were created from the foundation of the world. Okay. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And Elohim did rest the seventh day from all of his works. And in this place, again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they unto whom it was first preached entered not in because of the unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Okay. For if the Yahshua had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? Okay. There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of Yahweh. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as Elohim did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of the unbelief. For the word of the Yahshua, he's a written word, is a name in the Hebrew. In the New Testament, scriptures is Apollyon, that's a Greek terminology. But in the Hebrew, it's Abaddon, so the English was transliterated from the Hebrew, so we can say that his name is also Abaddon, A-B-A-D-O-N. Okay. So it says, for the word of the Yahshua is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Okay, now we're going to go on to verse 14, where it shows that Yahshua is our high priest. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Yahshua the son of Elohim, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as like as we are, yet without sin. So now Yahshua, even though he ascended into the heavens to take his place in the heavenly sanctuary, to be a propitiation for the mankind here on earth, it says this high priest, he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities right there in the heaven. So you see, the connection between earth and heaven is through the spiritual wavelength. And now if you don't have the spirit, and you're not using the spirit as your communication between you and Yahshua, you have to have a connection between the Father and the Son through the spirit. So wherever they're at, that's how they hear your cry when you call out. And you pray anytime, anywhere. If you're in danger, you just call out in that name of Yahshua. And with that spiritual connection, it's like having a telephone line hooked, a wire from phone to phone. In our case, it's a wireless telephone. So the spirit is a wireless communication between man and Yahweh, the Father and the Son. So he says, that's the reason why we're able to be touched by, he can be touched by our infirmities. Because the connection between between mankind and him through the Spirit. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now folks, we're called upon to deliver this world. This house of David is called upon to become sanctified and to deliver this world. Now we have an enemy out there that wants to try to thwart this from happening. He wants to sever the communication line between the house of Yahweh here on earth and the house of Yahweh in heaven. The two are connected. Yahshua makes the connection by the Spirit. So he said, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. To help what? To help our fellow man in a time of need. It's chapter 5, Hebrews. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in the things pertaining unto Elohim, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with the infirmity. And by the reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sin. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called the Elohim, as was Aaron. So also Yahshua glorified himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of the eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So when I would tell the people here at different times, obey those that have the rule over you. That's in Hebrews chapter 13. It says, obey them that have the rule over him. Well, if you don't obey Yahweh's servants, you're not going to obey Yahshua. Okay. Verse 10, a call of Elohim and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of the hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of Elohim, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. That's the case right here. We have two people that have fallen out of the kingdom. They have fallen away. Alan DeLong and Sharon, his friend, they have fallen away because they desire to be teachers. They want to be teachers. They don't want to have somebody submitting guidelines to them, showing them how they should teach the three angels' messages. That's all they understand anyway. No. So it says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Okay, so when you go and use the three angels' messages, and that's all you want to teach to the Adventists, you want to go back to them, you're falling back into the 10th and 11th parabolic hours. You're falling back with the fourth group of laborers, calling Matthew 20, verse 5. That's called the ninth hour. you're falling back with them, and they only lived on milk, and they become skillful in the root of righteousness, because it says, for he is a babe, the strong meat belongeth unto them that are of the full age, even those who by the reason of the use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So and the Bible says in one place you call the good bad and the bad good, you know, then you've got a confused state of the mind. Okay, so this is the end of chapter 5. We just like a couple of minutes. Let's go ahead and look right on into chapter 6 for a verse or two. It says, verse 1, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of the Yahshua. What are the principles? Okay, well, that's the basic teachings that he taught on the Mount of Transfiguration, on the Mount of Olives, where he took the people up there, and he had the Sermon on the Mount. He said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of the Yahshua, let us go on unto perfection. Now we have to leave the principles and go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance and dead works and of faith toward Elohim. But when you go back and want to teach what they taught in the 11th hour of Verus Johnson, and you want to go back to Adventists again, and they've already been closed out and so forth, and then you're laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, going to try to teach them again now how to repent and start keeping the feast days and so forth. It says, and of faith toward the Yahweh, or the Yahshua, of the faith of baptism, and of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of the eternal judgment. And it's not long ago, I had Alan DeLong on the day of Pentecost, 2014, to anoint me. I have a physical problem that certainly needs attention. James says the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So I said, well, if Alan DeLong truly is a righteous person, then he can anoint me and pray for me, and Yahweh will heal me 100%. So we put it to a test. But it didn't happen. But it says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Yahweh Spirit, and having tasted the good word of the Elohim and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. That's exactly what Alvin Sharon did. Because they once tasted of the good word of the Yahweh and the powers of the world to come. Okay? It says they were once enlightened, and they once tasted of the heavenly gift, and they were made partakers of the Holy Spirit. They did that on this last Pentecost. They requested baptism. That's when you really want to feel the experience of the Holy Spirit. And they tasted of the good word of the Elohim and the powers of the world to come. They tasted of all that. It says they fell away. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify unto themselves the Son of Elohim, and put him to an open shame. So when you go back and start to repeat those three angels' messages and use Rose Johnson's writings and go to Adventists and teach salvation to them, all you're doing is pointing back to the tomb of the dead prophet, committing Shintoism. You're falling back. Okay. Now you got to lay another foundation, renewed with repentance from dead works, to show the living Yahweh, and start all over again. Okay. This brings into our studies. This is our contact. This is the 11th hour call, and that's number 11 on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Take time to be holy. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with the Yah. Of but in Him only, and feed on His word. Make friends of your children, of those who are weak. Forgetting His nothing is blessing to see. Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Speak much time in secret with Yahshua alone. By looking to Yahshua, like Him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct His likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, let Him be thy guide. And run not before Him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy own. Looking to Yahshua, still trusting His word. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. His thought and His motive beneath His control. Thus led by His Spirit, through fountains of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service above.